What a beautiful day, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Time of excitement. Glory to God. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 1. We're going to start in. And would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection. Hallelujah, Lord God. And God, we're here this morning, Lord God. God, to just celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And Father, we invite the Holy Spirit to come into this place. Holy Spirit, you are free in this place to move amongst us. Father, we ask that you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord God. And God, just touch our hearts today, touch our minds, Lord God. God, may we just have your heart, your mind today, Father, as we look into your word, Father, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So we see, we celebrate the resurrection, but there was a lot of events that led up to the resurrection. You couldn't have the resurrection without the death, right? And so there's a lot of events. And you can start in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and there's a list of different events that happened. And one of the things we see that Jesus ate a meal with his disciples. We would call it the Last Supper. And a lot of events took place there. We see that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And we see that at that time, Judas departs. And then we see that the Lord's Supper, we call it communion, the Lord's Supper, whatever, it was instituted. And then Jesus, and then the Bible says they sang a hymn. And then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know the story of Jesus going and praying three times, such agony. The Bible says he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. He was in so much intense agony. And then we see the betrayal of Judas. And the arrest, Sanhedrin came and arrested Jesus, took him to the high priest. And we see that Peter betrays Jesus. The one that said, maybe everyone else will deny you, but not me. And we see that Peter betrayed Jesus. Then we see the first trial before Annas. Then we see the second trial before the Sanhedrin, and Jesus is condemned. Then we see the third trial immediately at dawn. And we see that Peter denies Jesus a third time. And in one of the Gospels, it tells us that when Jesus, when Peter denied Jesus that third time, Jesus looked at him. Then Jesus taken to the Romans. There's a fourth trial before Pilate. There's a fifth trial before Herod. Then there's a sixth trial before Pilate. And we see that Jesus is beaten. He's whipped. He's scourged. And the whole city cries, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then we see that Jesus finally turned over to be crucified. Jesus is mocked by the Roman soldiers. They put a crown of thorns on him. And Judas goes out and he hangs himself. And about 9 o'clock, Jesus starts walking to his death, bearing his own cross. As Jesus was on the cross, there's like 7 sayings from the cross. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to the one thief beside him, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And then he said to his mother, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." To John. And to John he said, "Behold my mother." Noontime, everything is dark. Total darkness. Then we see the words, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He's totally alone. The people have left him. His friends left him. And now God left him. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then comes near to the end, and he said, "I thirst." And he said, "It is finished." Everything I came to the earth to do, everything that needed done, he said, "It's finished." Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. About 3 p.m., the veil's torn, There's an earthquake. We see that they came and to make sure Jesus was dead, they rammed a spear into his side. In the temple, the Passover lambs had been slain. At that time, the high priest said, "It's finished, it's completed." Sundown, Jesus is buried. And we see the Jewish leadership came to Pilate and they asked for a guard to be placed around the tomb and to seal it. Matthew 12:40 says, "Even as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." And when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, in Jonah 2:2, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." And we see that there was a resurrection of Jonah. Amen? He was brought from death to life. And once again, the Lord spoke to him. And he said, "Arise." He said to Jonah, he said, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you." And we see that Jonah went into the city. He was obedient this time. He went into the city and he preached. It was a large city, a 3 days journey from one end to the other, and he preached. And the Bible tells us that the whole city was saved because Jonah preached. He was obedient. They all believed God. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Matthew 12:41, "Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." He's risen. He's not here. He's risen. Why do you look among the dead for the living? He's not here. He's risen. Other translations put it this way: he's risen from the dead. He's been brought back to life. He's come back to life again. He's risen from death. He has been resurrected. Glory to God. We see when Lazarus had died, and he's buried, and Jesus says, "Don't you know? Don't you have faith to believe?" And Martha said, "Yes, I believe in that day, in the day that he'll be resurrected." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection." The title of the message: I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Not I was the resurrection 2,000 years ago. Not that I'm the resurrection someday, but I'm the resurrection of today. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Want to look at about maybe 5 points this morning. The first thing Jesus is the resurrection of, Jesus is the resurrection of sinners. How many is thankful? Yeah. Glory to God. This place should be alive. People should be excited that Jesus is my resurrection. I don't know about you guys. Praise God. But the Romans tells us that we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all failed God. We've all denied God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Glory to God. I'm thankful for everlasting life. Hallelujah. And I don't have to wait till the sweet by and by to experience everlasting life. When we come to Jesus, we start that everlasting life. Hallelujah. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now you may be thankful that you're saved. But there's a promise here that says, not only you, but your house. Anybody have lost members of your family? Well, we can stand on the Word of God and we can say, God, you promised. You promised salvation for my whole house. Holy Spirit, draw them. Holy Spirit, draw them to Jesus. Ephesians 2:1, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. There was a time when I was dead in trespass and sin. Paul goes on to write, he says, where in time past you walked according to the course of the world. You've done the same things they done. According to the prince of the power of the air, and that is Satan. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past. Our lifestyle. That was our lifestyle in times past. In the lusts of our flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And by the nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Just like the world. We was the same thing. We done the same thing. But Paul says, you've been quickened. You're not to be there. Quickened means alive, not dead. It's time for Christians to come to life. Glory to God. Second Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. King James says, the old has passed away, become new. The resurrection of sinners. Jesus died on that cross and we'd all be saved. Everyone. Every person you ever see, every day, Jesus died for them. In Mark chapter 2, there's a story of Jesus, and he's ministering in this house, and the crowd of people came, and they're listening, they're intent on what he's saying. The house was full, doorway was full, and there come these four men. And they had a friend. And the friend was paralyzed. And he couldn't move. But he had four friends that believed Jesus would heal him. And they couldn't get in. The crowd wouldn't let them through. And they was determined. See, when you're determined, you'll do anything to get to Jesus. And they tore the roof off the house. Now that's desperate. And it may not be a roof that's keeping you from Jesus. But there may be something. And so the people, these four men, ripped the roof off. Put the crippled man, the paralyzed man, right down in front of Jesus. And Jesus sees this paralyzed man. And he says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Of course, people didn't understand that. They expected him to heal him. And Jesus said, which is it easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go home. Second Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. God is the resurrection of health. Jesus is the resurrection of health. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. How many does that leave out? None. All. You can look it up in the Greek. You can look it up in the Hebrew. You can look it up in the English. You can look it up in the Latin. It still means all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of health. Anybody here need resurrection in your body? In Luke 15, there's a story about a farmer. And he had at least two sons. And they had a lot of work to do. Seemed like they was working all the time. That's farming. And the younger son, he said, this isn't for me. I'm out of here. I talked to my friends. Man, they're out enjoying life. Here I am slaving on the farm. It's not for me. All I see is work, work, work. Bills coming in. You make some money and you pay it out in bills. He says, I'm leaving. By the way, he said, I want my inheritance. And I want it now. And the amazing thing was, instead of the father giving a good lesson or two, he said, okay. And whatever he had to do to get the son's inheritance, maybe he had to mortgage the farm, I don't know, go to the bank, borrow the money, whatever. And he gave the son his inheritance. It's like, here it is. While you know it all, go make your fortune. And so the son takes the money and he goes and he enjoyed the parties, wine, women, and song. And the thing about money, easy come, easy go. And it wasn't long until the money run dry. All the friends he had, they was gone. Because there was no more funds available. Fair weather friends. The father's at home, running the farm. Kids are at home, working harder than ever because they're down one man. But the father is expecting the son. See, the Bible says that he went into a far country. And it don't matter how far. When we do things that are not pleasing to God, are not honoring God, we're in a far country. And so the son was in a far country, run out of money. There was a famine in the country. There was no work. And so finally he found a job working for a farmer. And this farmer had hogs. Now, swine was unclean. And so here is this son that had a good home. Had a good life, didn't know it. And now he's out there slopping the hogs, wading around in hog wallow, and he's hungry. And he'd even like to eat what the hogs are eating. He settled for the hogs. And it says, finally, he came to himself. Finally, he realized, what am I doing here? How did I get in this place? This isn't what I bargained for. This wasn't the dream I had. This wasn't my plans. How did I get here? And it said, finally, he was humbled. All his pride was gone. And he made up his mind that he would go back and ask his father forgiveness. He would repent and just ask him if he could have a job. And he finally made his way back. And the father saw him a long ways off, and he ran to the son. And he embraced him, and he kissed him, put a robe on his shoulders, a ring on his finger, and he welcomed him home. And here's what he said. He said, "Kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate." And the older son says, "I've been here all the time and you never killed anything. You never had a party for me. You never killed a goat or a lamb or a whatever. You never had a party for me." And the father says, "You've been here all along. Everything that was here was yours." But he said, "For this my son was dead." He was dead. He was alive, but he was in a far country. And the father said, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Hallelujah. John 5:21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection of relationships." How many have relationships that are strained? Relationships that are broken? And Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection of relationships." If you look at the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John, after Jesus is resurrected out of the grave, you will see that in those two Gospels, he went and he was with people, talking to them. In the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, it goes from the resurrection to the Great Commission, which the Great Commission is about relationship too. In Luke 8:26, we see that Jesus came in a ship. He's out of the boat, walked up, and he was met by a man. And the Bible says he was tormented with devils, demons, evil spirits, whatever. He had no friends, no life, no future, nothing to live for. And he says, a certain man had devils a long time. Didn't have any clothes. Didn't have a house. He lived in the tombs. The people were afraid of him. He was screaming in agony and pain all through the night. The people would hear him screaming. And they tried to chain him and bind him with ropes. And the demons in him was so strong they just broke him. It says he was driven by the devil into the wilderness. Devil's never satisfied. He wants everything. Little by little, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But it said that Jesus addressed the problem. He looked beyond what the people was seeing. He saw the Spirit. He saw the man behind what was happening. And we know the rest of the story, where he cast the demons out and they went into the herd of swine. They run into the sea, drowned, whatever. And so the word went to the city, "Hey, hate to tell you, but your livestock just got baptized. Oh, by the way, that man that was way out there in left field, he's okay. And so the city came, all the people came out to see what was going on. And they came to Jesus and they found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus is more than able to resurrect the mind. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of hope. Psalms 103:4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Glory to God. You know, forget not all the benefits. This is part of the benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. Then we get to the book of Revelation. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 talks about the churches. In Revelation. And Jesus says, I'm the first and I'm the last. So we're going to look at the first church and the last church. The first church was the church at Ephesus. And it starts out about the good things that they were doing. And then in 2:4 it says, nevertheless. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said, I see the good things you're doing. But he said, you left your first love. The zeal you had, the fire you had, the compassion you had, the love that you had, where is it? He said, you've left it. Your first love didn't leave you. You left your first love. Do you still have that first love? How many remember the first love? When you first came to Jesus, and our old things passed away, and everything was new, and you and God was buddies. You could talk to God. He would talk to you. You would understand Him. You would come into His presence, and you would just weep before Him, and you didn't understand it, but it was just so good. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever experienced that? Do you still do that? Do you still have that love? Do you love God? Do you love others? Do you love others so much? Remember when you couldn't wait to tell other people about Jesus? Because of what He'd done for you and for me, and you just wanted everybody to experience what you had. I remember when I got saved, I thought everybody else had it. I thought I was the only one that hadn't experienced God. I thought everybody else already had this.
have that fire? Am I still like Jeremiah, where there's a fire shut up in my bones? And it's just waiting to get out. And it's burning. And there's the compassion and the love for others. Do I still have it? I'd be the first to say, no, I don't have it. I don't have that fire. I don't have that love that I once had. So easy to let it slip away, little by little, and you don't even know that it's gone. It just slips away. And then in the last church is the church of the Laodicea. And he starts out, I know thy works. They're neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and am need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, you think you got it all, and you have nothing. Don't even know it. You've cooled off to my word. You don't seek me like you used to. You don't spend time with me. You don't spend time in my word. You don't come to me with all your problems and all your cares, all your situations, all your troubles. You've got it all. He said, don't you know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. We'll sup with him, and he with me. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection of the church. He's speaking to the church. First and last sort of go together. If we don't have that first love, we probably think we do. We probably think we have everything. We're rich. We're clothed in beautiful clothes. We have need of nothing. We're self-sufficient. We don't come to God with our needs, because we can handle them. God says, you don't even know that you're miserable, you're wretched, you're poor, you're naked, You're blind. But he hasn't given up. He said, I counsel thee, buy gold of me. Tried in the fire. God says, I have so much more. I have so much more. I have treasure that you haven't even begun to tap. I have so much more if you would only seek me. If you would cry out to me. If you spend time. God says, here it is. Here it is. If you want it. Most people have something in their life that need Jesus. The resurrection. I don't know about you, but I need the resurrection. There's so much more. And I don't want to settle for the crumbs. So easy to get a morsel here and there and think, wow, I've got everything. And God says, you got nothing. There's so much more. Do you want it? If you need resurrection in your life, in any of those areas or any other area, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am what you need. So if that's you, I invite you to come to the altar. Swallow your pride. Get right with Jesus and get real with Jesus. I invite you to join me. And then we're going to take communion. But the Bible says before we take communion, we're to get right with God. So I invite you to come. I'd be the first to say, God, I need you. I need resurrection. Jesus, I need you. And God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll come, not if you'll stand at the door, but if you'll come. He said, I'll come in. I'll come in if you take that first step. So I invite you to come.